But I also grew up in the North, you know. My great-grandfather came from Italy to New York, New York to Chicago, and into Wisconsin into witness protection. It's a complicated story. I don't want to get deep into it, folks.
My guest is that guy, Joey Aiello. Hi, Joey. How are you?
Good morning.
Now, I know you for several years, but my wife knows you since you're a little toddler.
Yeah.
You go way back.
Way back.
And I have videos of you as a little kid with your brother and my stepson. You had a rap band or something together. I we don't play any of your hits. But
I started rapping when I was 11 years old, and it actually started to help me when I got into comedy. Yeah. The rapping and how I used to write raps, I just transferred it over into writing jokes.
So. Well, let me. Are you from Racine originally?
I am, born and raised.
Okay, born and raised in Racine, so you're a local yokel. That's good. But you're also a comedian that travels all across America
and
through Canada.
Yeah.
But you also perform in Branson. Isn't that your home base now,
that
Branson?
Is. Yeah. Yeah, I had to get out of shows to come on the road because we're still in our season. But I'm on tour right now. So I'm in the Shepherd of the Hills. I'm at the Comedy Bash.
It's Shepherd of the Hills,
show.
Yeah.
It was based on a novel written by Harold Bell Wright. Yeah. I'm in the Playhouse Theater out there.
Now, all your comedy is clean comedy.
That's right. Yeah.
No dirty words, no innuendos, all clean comedy. Is that more difficult to do?
It is, because anytime you have, like, a dirty thought, you have to cancel it out if you want to work clean, you know what I'm saying? So like it's sometimes harder, you know. I have a lot of dirty jokes I could do, but
now we run a lot of comedians here after the weather at the top and bottom of the hour, like Jim Gaffigan.
Yes.
Plays clean,
right.
Brian Regan, Dennis Regan,
right.
I'm trying to look at all the comedians. Kevin James we use, Jay Moore, all the comedians here, and they're all clean bits because we can't run. Mm-hmm. Kathleen, is it Kathleen Madigan?
I'm trying to think. Kathleen Madigan.
Yeah, because we can't run any dirty ones, obviously. I think the clean ones are funnier. I really do. Now, is your, you know, you play a lot of religious, you play churches, right?
I do, yeah.
Okay. So, now it's got to be really special when you do it to the church, right?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in church, so I understand the culture, you know.
Now, I have to do a presentation of our church later on at noon today, or 11 o'clock today, and open up with a joke. I have a nice joke, nice clean, got a good punchline to it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and this is an older crowd. It's a senior luncheon, so you can't really go over their heads with a joke. And it's just one joke.
Right.
One and done.
Right.
And then I move on to the presentation. How long have you been doing comedy? Now, let me just take a look here. I see a little wisp of gray. Nothing really up there. So I'm going to assume 47, 48?
Yeah, 48.
48.
Yeah, 20 years I've been doing stand-up.
I knew that because you're 2 years older than my stepson. I was just kind of playing around with you. I knew exactly how old you were. Okay, now, when did you decide comedy?
Well, I was in college, and there was this guy going to open mics, and you know, he wasn't that funny. And I was like, hey, I want to try that. So I got up and open mic at a comedy night, and I just got hooked on it.
Did you have a routine or anything at that time?
Well, I had ideas. I had premises, you know, and that's really, you know, comedy is all about editing, you know, just editing down. You know, when you first get into comedy, you think, oh, this is the joke. And it's like, it's not. It's just the premise or the idea of the joke. And then you have to punch it up, and you have to use the technique, the timing and the delivery. And you have to get the punchlines just where they need to be.
How, when you're on stage, 45 minutes, an hour, how long?
An hour is what.
Okay, an hour. What if the crowd isn't good? You're stuck with an hour with a bad crowd.
Yeah, right.
How do you do that?
But
if these jokes aren't hitting, these people, well, you know.
Yeah, you just push through it, you know. Every time you bomb or you don't do well, you have to take a look back at you know, you have to look at your act, and you have to realize, man, I need to punch this up. I need more structure in the jokes, and you know, misdirections and, you know, punchlines. It's just important to, you know, If the crowd knows where they're, you're going with the joke, then they go but if they don't know where you're going and you can hit them, then you keep their attention, you know, and that's why it's important to look at your act and punch it up and.
Oh, I can't imagine being there for an hour and no one's laughing. Oh, that would just.
Oh yeah, it's horrible.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
You ever end the act early just to get out of there?
No, well, no, I do my time. So.
You steal your time like prison.
Right. Well, I was in the middle of a show. You know, the hardest thing is, you know, kids are my biggest fans, especially the 3-year-olds. I was in the middle of my act.
You can pull anything over their eyes. It doesn't matter.
I was in the middle of my act, and a 3-year-old yells out, "I want to go home." And I was like, after that kid said that, I'm like, "I want to go home."
I want to go home. What if an adult says that? Then you're really in trouble.
You just take it and you run with it and make funny, you know.
Okay, we're going to talk about how do you write a joke. I've never written a joke. I just take other people's jokes and kind of say, I came up with this idea. Do you ever steal? Is that like persona non grata? You cannot do that kind of thing in comedy. Take someone else's joke.
Right. You want to keep your own.
I mean, it would be embarrassing if you got caught stealing a joke, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, yeah, sometimes it depends on what the situation is. You know, like I'm on a comedy bus in Branson, Missouri, and you know, we do like street jokes sometimes in a concept, you know, like because we're playing characters, you know. So, you know, it just depends on how you do it, you know. But I mean, I write my own stuff. You know, you should write your own stuff and try to write your own stuff. Yeah.
Now, you travel a lot. You said through the U.S. and Canada.
Yes.
What makes you go to Canada?
Well, my agency's based out of Canada, and I'm on my way to the date night tour, and I'm also on a thing called A Night to Remember for couples, and so I'm getting ready to go on tour. Or I'm on tour right now, but that's a big tour. Like, the date night tour, we sold 56,000 tickets on that tour, and so, like, a lot of the nights, there's 1,500 people there at the shows, so it's really cool. I'm going to Atlantic Canada, so I'm going to Newfoundland and Prince Edward Island. And
does your family go with you?
No, I mean, it's brutal, you know. It's like, we have a show the 20th, the 21st, the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, and we're in a different city in a different province a lot of the time, so it's brutal, you know.
I know your wife, lovely lady. This is a wonderful woman you're married to. You have two great kids. Do you miss them when you're on the road?
I do, you know. I do. We go on big vacations, and then where we live in a tourist town.
Yeah.
So where I live, you know, that's what's so beautiful about performing in Branson. Because you do the shows, and then after you're done, you go home just like a regular job, you know. But your kids grow up in an amusement park, and when you have your own show or you're in a show, you get into the shows in Branson for free. You get into the attractions. We have what's called a reciprocal, so it's really cool, you know, for the kids to be able to go and enjoy life.
Now, for people that can't write jokes, and there are people, you know, not everyone's that talented. Can you buy them?
You can buy them. Yeah, you can get writers that can write for you. I'm a member of a Clean Comedy Association. So, you know, for me, I write with other comedians. You know, we get ideas, you know, with each other. And that's really helpful, you know, because you can only come up with so many ideas on your own. When you get with other like-minded mm-hmm. people, they'll give you a tag or they'll give you a punchline. You know, it's your premise, and that's kind of the rule. Is if it's your idea, then that's your joke, but people can help you with the tags and the punchlines and things like that. So.
We're talking to Joey Aiello. Joey is from Racine originally. Now he tours America, Canada. Doing comedy. You've been doing this all your life, though.
Yeah, I've been writing since I was 11. I've been rapping. Yeah. You know, I took the concept of rapping. You know, there's a misconception. Everybody thinks that rapping is like you have to rhyme every word, and that's not true. You know, so I took that. We do what's called bars, and the reason why it's done in a bar is because the beat comes, and if you don't end when you're supposed to end, then you're off beat. And that's the same way with stand up. The punchline, or if you don't have a punchline, it's called a tag, and that's what leads the next sentence. But you have to stop and you have to pause. You have to let the audience laugh. You have to hear them. You play by ear, really. Mm-hmm. I'm a drummer, so I understand the rudiments and I understand the beats and the rhythm, and that's what I infuse into my show. It's it's like a rhythm. It's a lot of fun.
And my first time in Canada was so true. You guys were going through that mad cow disease moment. And I went to a restaurant, I wanted a steak, and I said, I want my steak medium. And the lady goes, sir, everything we do here in Canada is well done. I thought she was bragging. I was like, way to go. Now go get my steak medium. She goes, sir, everything we do here in Canada. That's right. That's right.
Joey Aiello, that's a funny bit, is my guest and the stand-up comic, but from Racine. That's the most important part. You're homegrown.
That's right.
Now, nobody in your family does this, right? It's your brother. Does it? He's not a comic.
Well, my parents were professional clowns. When
that's
I was a
right.
Kid.
Yeah. Your mom and dad were clowns. Yeah, absolutely. That's right. Now, I've seen pictures.
That's right.
Your dad worked for the sheriff's department here
right.
in town.
My father
too.
Was really funny. You know, he and some people are scared of clowns. You know,
Jim Aiello. Yeah.
They're scared of that person who takes the time to dress up as a clown, put the makeup on, then walks around and uses his regular voice. Do you want a hug? You know, you're scared of weirdos. You know, you're not scared of clowns per se. You know, the art form of clowning. Clowning, like Red Skelton, I seen him in 1989 at the Riverside Theater, and he was what was called a character clown, where he'd put a hat on, and he didn't have to have the makeup, but he would become a clown, and it was funny, you know. His act, I watched him for 2 hours, just kill it, you know. I also seen Bill Cosby go for 2 hours, but that was before he got in trouble, but he was funny too, you know. So and so as a kid, I was like, man, I want to do that. I want to make people laugh too. So I was kind of growing up around it, so it was kind of marinating, you know. My dad loved comedy, and he always exposed me to great comedy. So
and we mentioned your dad worked for the sheriff's department in Racine County. He was in the Marine Water Division, was not?
Yeah, he was. He was on the Sheriff's Department. They had a boat, you know, Lake Michigan, worked Lake Michigan.
Yeah, tough work in the summer.
Yeah, he was on the scuba diving team.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And now?
They did a lot of recovery of people who drowned and stuff like that. So it was pretty brutal.
On your first outing as a comic, do you remember where it was?
My first outing. Yes, I was at a club called Club 3 Degrees, and it went really well. Like I said, I started writing raps when I was 11, so I'd already started the writing process.
But here you are.
And structuring and rhythm, and I think everything has a rhythm, and so when you understand the concept of control of that, when you go to do jokes, if you don't understand how to stop and let the audience laugh. So I wasn't like a person who just got on stage and was green. So I didn't do a lot of bombing at first in my stand-up.
But you had to be nervous for telling jokes in front of an audience for your first time. I had to be scared to death.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, I loved performing. I was already performing in music and things like that. So I was used to crowds and audiences.
You weren't a class clown, were you?
Oh, yeah, I was. I got kicked out of... Man, I used to go into school, and they would have the detention slip ready for me. Like, that was that.
It all filled out? It just had to put time on it.
I skipped school and never even left school. Like, I skipped school inside of school. Like, I would just hang out inside of school, you know?
You know, I told you off the air, I went to school with Jerry Seinfeld. We were, you know, kids together. And everybody says, was he like the class clown? Did he tell jokes? No, this guy was a quiet guy. I went to religious school with him for 4 years. We sat together, and then we went to grammar school together. I never remember him doing anything. He's just a very quiet guy. And the first time he was on The Tonight Show, his dad knocked on doors in the neighborhood and said, Jerry's going to be on The Tonight Show tonight. Jerry's on The Tonight Show. Jerry's on The Tonight Show tonight. And of course, everybody watched it. And we were just amazed. There's the kid from the neighborhood. And you're the kid from the neighborhood.
That's right. I struggled in school. I was in special education my senior year. That was a very special time.
Well, all that skipping school, what do you expect is going to happen?
It was funny. I was on a radio station, or I was on a television station, and she's like, well, how'd you think about getting into comedy? And I'm like, well, I was in special ed my senior year. I didn't have a lot of options.
You've done TV before?
Oh, yeah. I've been on Last Comic Standing.
You were? That's right. You were.
Yeah. Been on the.
You weren't the last one standing, though, were you?
I was on a special done by Warner Brothers called Thou Shalt Laugh, and it was featured on Netflix for a little while. So I've been on Netflix. I've been on the Comedy Channel in Canada. So I'm really well known up in Canada.
That's
so
kind of
got
great.
My start in Canada. So I'm more popular there than I am in the States, but I'm starting to come around, you know.
Great putting Racine on the map. I like that.
Well, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if we have that many famous people from Racine. Kenosha's got a bunch. Milwaukee's got a bunch. But now we have to get Racine on the map. Wow, that's pretty good, too. And you came to visit, but you're appearing in Chicago.
I'm in Chicago tomorrow.
Whereabouts?
I've actually had a church called City Church. It's right downtown in Chicago. So I'm performing for the junior high schoolers. They're having a special night for them, and they're bringing me in to do a comedy show for them. So, yeah, that's tomorrow. But that's tomorrow. But tonight, I'm at the Kenosha Comedy Club. So you can come see me at a club. There's no kids there. Don't have to worry about the three-year-old. I want to go home.
He's scaring me. Please help. Call 911.
Right. We're gonna have a good time tonight. And you can get your tickets at happeningsmagazine.com. Or just look up KenoshaComedyClub.com. You can purchase your table, and the tickets are starting to go. So yeah, I mean, this is the last time to get them is tonight. So come out and see me. 7:30 is
tonight.
Yeah, and it's the only time I'm performing. It's probably one of the first times I've ever performed comedy in this area. So, you know, I've never really done shows in Racine, but not in a comedy club. So I'm really excited about being in a comedy club, you know, close to home. So,
yeah. Well, that's pretty neat. Very proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
And I've seen the videos of you when you were like 11 years old. I have those, you know, I'm going to hold on to them as blackmail someday. I don't know what I'm going to need them for, but we have the VHS tapes of you and Adonis and your brother.
Oh, yeah.
All performing, and you're the live wire. Well, yeah. Actually, all three of you were.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you're a live wire in there. You put out a video. We have it. And it was something about clowns on the video. What was, you had your parents
well,
on
Well,
my
there. First special was called Raised by Clowns.
Raised by Clowns, that's right, it, right. Yeah.
And I understand how, and that's what, there's so much, you know, comedy's all about conflict and then release. And, you know, people nowadays are just so scared of clowns. And so I just, you know, I was like, you're scared of clowns. Just imagine being raised by them. And so I just put out this special called Raised by Clowns. So, and then I also have a dry bar comedy special called Just Work With What You Got. And we shot that. And dry bar is like the biggest library of clean comedy. Mm-hmm. And so I have a special. If your listeners ever listen to Dry Bar, you can check me out. It's called Just Work With What You Got.
I think I see their videos on YouTube.
Yes, go on YouTube and just look up Joey ILO and you can watch my special for
free. Yeah, right. Now, you don't, you go by different spelling. ILO, we all know how to spell ILO, but you go Joey I, the letter I, L, the letter L, the letter O.
That's right. Because if you take out every other letter, you know, I had to take out every other letter because if you Google my real last name, the only thing that comes up is mafia members. I didn't think that would be good for my career. It's Danny Aiello is a distant cousin of mine.
Yes, Danny Aiello, the actor. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was the real reason why I did it. It was because if you Google my real name, all it comes up is mafia members and then Danny Aiello.
It's really come up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a guy named Joey Aiello, and he was the toughest gangster in Chicago. He came closest to killing Capone, paid Capone's chef $35,000 back in the early 2030s, and then Capone's chef came and told Capone, and Capone whacked the chef, and then he went after Joey Aiello, and Joey Aiello joined the Irish gang. He joined Bugs Moran, and then Capone set up the
St. Valentine's
massacre, and two people didn't show up. Joey Aiello and Bugs Moran. He got shot 150 times 2 days later, but they think it was Capone that did it. I think it was Moran. And even if Capone did it, Moran was probably going to kill him because he was the only Italian that they invited into their group, and the only person that didn't show up was him, and then Moran, who was the boss. And so I went to Vegas, and I was at the Mob Museum, and I walk in, and the lady goes, "Are you a veteran?" I said, "No." Are you a teacher?" I said, "No." She said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Joey Aiello." And she goes, "You're the Joey Aiello?"
Yeah, I'm 104.
She let me in. for the family discount of $10 because really? She thought I was really related to Joey Aiello. And then she goes, you know, Bugs Moran's family comes here every week. You should join their Facebook page. And I was like, no, I joined years ago and it didn't work out for me. I think I'm going to sit this one out.
Thank you, Joey, for coming in here. Joey Aiello. And Joey Aiello's at the Kenosha Comedy Club tonight, 7:30. You can get your tickets at happenings.com.
Yeah, happenings.com or happenings magazine, mag, as it is happenings, mag.com.
Yeah, we'll find it there. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Joey. Good seeing you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Good. Last time I saw you, I think it was your wedding.
It was my wedding?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Good seeing you again.
Appreciate you.
Homegrown and one more from Joey Aiello.
We didn't have all them special programs when I was in special ed. We didn't have that No Child Left Behind. I went to a Christian school. They tell you on the first day, some of you will be left behind. And they always pointed at me. It was strange.